You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. President Biden will deliver what the White House calls his first primetime address tomorrow night. We'll bring you live NPR coverage starting at 7. The address will mark 1 year since COVID-19 was declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization. Join in tomorrow at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Now, from tall tales to big legends, Wisconsin's got a few, including this one.
With my double blade axe and my hobnailed boots, I go where the timber's tall. When there's work to be done, don't mess around, just sing right out for Paul.
Hey, Paul!
I'm coming, boys!
Paul Bunyan!
Paul Bunyan!
He's 63 axe handles high, with his feet on the ground and his head in the sky. Hey, Paul!
Hey, Paul! Paul Bunyan!
The heyday of the lumberjack era in the state gave rise to a lot of folklore and mythology, strange woodland creatures, supernatural feats of strength, and someone who's been investigating and gathering these tales is Chad Lewis, a paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer from Eau Claire. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Greetings from the Northwoods.
You're in the Northwoods now. You are from Sawdust City, originally Eau Claire, a strong connection to the lumber industry. Can you talk about the importance of timber to the city and the state as a whole?
Yes. Well, of course, Eau Claire was known as Sawdust City because of all the lumber mills we had in our town. And we weren't alone. Almost every city along a river had one or more sawmills. And those sawmills fed the lumber industry, but also many other industries, broom making, tools. I think today many people forget how important the lumber industry was to shaping not only Wisconsin, but the entire country.
And you're giving a virtual talk this evening for the Shawano Public Library about the legends that came out of this. How big a source of our folklore and legend was lumberjacking here in the state?
It's amazing. Charles E. Brown, the late great Wisconsin folklorist, wrote in the early 1900s about Paul Bunyan stories. And imagine, you work from the time when it's too dark to see until you can't see at night, and all you could do is come back to the bunkhouse, sit around in your bunk with all the other lumberjacks, and spin tall tales and tell yarns. So that's what they did for their entertainment, trying to one-up each other on who could tell the best tale. And that really grew a whole myth of monsters, legends, and just craziness in the Northwoods where anything could happen.
Well, one tale that kept growing bigger and bigger in the telling was Paul Bunyan and his big blue ox, Babe, kind of a well-known figure. I think Minnesota has some claim to him, too. Are there parts of that legend that people might not be as familiar with?
Yes, of course, we claim in Wisconsin to be the home of Paul Bunyan, but so does Minnesota, Michigan, Vermont, the country of Canada, and a few other states. But we all know Paul was from Wisconsin. And most people don't know how Paul met Babe. And he actually met Babe in the terrible winter of the blue snow. And it was blue snow because it was so cold that everybody was cursing up a blue streak, and it turned all the snow blue. It was so cold that winter that fish grew fur. That's how cold it was when Paul found Babe in the snow. And he had already turned blue from the blue snow, so Paul took him into his lumber camp. And like everything around Paul Bunyan, Babe grew to an enormous size, and the two went on to make history.
And that speaks to, I think, some of the creativity of the people in this line of work and probably others. The it was so cold, how cold was it sort of things you just came up with. We rely on, you know, professionals create stuff for us. Back then, it might have been just people sitting around in that lumber shack.
And no two Paul Bunyan or lumberjack stories were the same. They were always changing, always morphing, progressing, and I think getting a little bit better. And oftentimes that was the creativity of the lumberjack, especially when the greenhorns, the rookies, came into the lumber camp. They would try to scare them or initiate them by telling the weirdest tales they could.
And now you mentioned the monsters that were invented. Now, the Hodag is a famous one. I know that was kind of invented for publicity purposes. I think we've talked to you about the Hodag before, Chad. Remind us of the story of the Hodag. And was it a big lumber one?
It was. Back in the 1800s, Eugene Shepherd out of Rhinelander area went into the woods and saw this hideous monster that looked somewhat like a dragon, a huge beast with spikes down its back, huge claws, long fangs, and he eventually captured this hodag and brought it to the Rhinelander area, put it on display at carnivals and county fairs until people found out it was a hoax. And then he admitted that he hoaxed it, but he said the only reason he hoaxed it was because he wasn't able to capture it. It was so dangerous out in the woods. And believe it or not, more people showed up to see how he had hoaxed it than when they thought it was real. And the town of Rhinelander now embraces it. It's their sporting team mascot. They have a huge display of the hodag out in front of their visitors bureau. So it's a fun tale.
Talking to Chad Lewis, folklore and paranormal researcher. He's doing a talk on Lumberjack Legends of Wisconsin online for the Shawano Public Library tonight. Chad, the hodag wasn't the only creature out there, was it? What other kind of things did lumberjacks scare the greenhorns with?
One of my favorites is the snow snake. Unlike other snakes, this snake hibernates all summer long. It only comes out after the first snow. It migrated here years ago from Siberia. And it's pure white, so you can't see it on the snow. So it would bite you and you would die. But not from the poisonous venom. You would freeze to death. And there was only one antidote, one cure for the bite from a snow snake. And that was huge amounts of liquor. So much that they recommended that by the time you're falling off of your bar stool and you're seeing things, you're probably in the clear from the snow snake.
I'm going to go out on a limb, Chad, and say there were some lumberjacks who took the treatment, what do they call it, prophylactically, in advance of that snow snake bite, if you take my meaning.
Well, that's the beauty is a lot of these lumber camps, alcohol was not allowed. So it was a big deal. So I think a lot of them probably invented getting bit by the snow snake. And as you said, some of them probably took the aspirin before the headache.
Now, do you have a favorite story from Lumberjack Legend outside of course, the Paul Bunyan legend?
I do. And my favorites are the real stories of the lumberjacks. And one of my interests in the lumberjack era was when these men died. And it was always the men because the men would leave for the winter and go into these lumber camps. And many of them were farmers. And it was the most dangerous job in America. Imagine these huge trees, but then also bringing it down to the rivers, waiting for the snow melt, and then putting them in the water and bringing them down to the lumber towns. So a lot of the lumberjacks died. And if they were lucky, they would be buried in a barrel or a couple big pieces of bark around them as a makeshift coffin, and they'd be buried in the ground. Others would then just have their boots tied to a tree. They would nail their boots up to a tree of someone who had died. So if you're ever out in the woods or along a riverbank and you see boots nailed to a tree, it might be a lumberjack. But I love those stories because many of these people were unknown. They didn't get a funeral service. They didn't get a proper burial. They might not even known their name. They might have just went by Madison Mike or something of that nature. So I'm fascinated how both the real folklore melds with the not so real folklore.
And you're Chad Lewis, so I got to ask, are there paranormal stories, ghostly hauntings and things like that associated with the lumberjack era?
Well, the lumberjacks reported a lot of what we would consider today to be Bigfoot sightings. They didn't call it Bigfoot back then, of course, but they talked about these hairy, giant creatures roaming the woods. And back in those days, the big woods had endless possibilities. If you believed, you know, the hodag was running around, why couldn't this giant gorilla type thing be running around? So I'm still finding more and more real reports, at least the reports were real, of Bigfoot type creatures. They also believed in the Willow of the Wisp, these balls of light, swamp gases, we might call them, that would plague a lumber camp during the summer months as well.
Why do you enjoy sharing these stories of Wisconsin's folklore and legends past with new generations, Chad?
One, they're amazingly fun. They're just so much fun to research and to add your own spin to them. But two, it keeps the lumber era alive in our memory of how much this played in Wisconsin's industry and how it shaped the lives of so many people. So many men were able to buy their farms and their property from working the winters in the lumber camps. And I think that's a history that should not be forgotten. It's only 100 years ago, but yet most people, we have no clue about it.
And the talk you're giving tonight is free to the public, and people don't have to go to Shawano. I think it is just online. How could people find you if they want to watch?
Best way is just go to the Shawano County Library website. And if you can't make it tonight, I believe they're recording it, and it will be available on their website as well.
And give us a sneak preview, Chad. You're talking about Lumberjack Legends tonight. What are you researching right now, maybe for future talks?
I'm doing finishing up a book on supernatural dares, where places that have a supernatural reputation where you have to do something for the legend to come true, like sit in the devil's chair or knock three times on a cursed mausoleum to release the spirit. All these things that you got to test your bravery to go do.
That sounds fun. We'll talk to you about it, I'm sure. Chad, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Keep an eye out.
Wisconsin's own Chad Lewis is a paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer. We talked to them today about some of Wisconsin's lumberjack era folklore. It's a taste of a longer program he's giving tonight as a virtual event through the Shawano Public Library. We've got a link to the library's Facebook page up at wpr.org/centraltime. They'll stream the talk for free via Facebook Live at 6 p.m. today.